Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome. Good afternoon. It's great to have all of you here on what is turning out to be a very, very busy day with the NBA draft later. The possibility that Auburn will have the first pick in the draft. There was a bombshell announcement earlier today in the world of recruiting. Yes, Arch Manning made his commitment. He's going to Texas, according to his Twitter feed. And anyone who thinks the SEC and Texas are going to be separate for much longer, think again. That may have just expedited Texas into the SEC like maybe tomorrow. But our big theme today is the 50th anniversary of Title IX, one of the most important moments in modern American history. It's being celebrated throughout the day, and we'll talk to a number of people, including one of the most famous women's basketball players ever, a little bit later on. But we are delighted to start with someone I've known for a long time, Hannah Storm, whose career, quite frankly, is legendary. And I have been at the other end of these questions way too many times, so I'm delighted to have Hannah joining us. I can't tell you how many nervous Sunday mornings when I first started ESPN, especially after a Notre Dame loss, which was often back then. How are you, Hannah? Great to have you on.
Yeah, you nailed that one. being a Notre Dame grad, of course, I've had to take you to task many times on your thoughts about the great University of Notre Dame. But, Paul, I got to say, I applaud you with everything happening today, that you're actually leading your show with Title IX. A lot of people's kind of eyes glaze over when they hear about Title IX. I mean, a recent survey said 87% of American adults have heard little to nothing about it. So thank you very much for celebrating the 50th anniversary of this watershed moment.
Well, it happened 50 years ago, and you were just a little girl back then, but yep. you grew up in a sports family. Your father was a very well-known basketball executive, later a commissioner, and I'm just curious how you became acquainted with this and what it meant to you, and especially as you got a little bit older and started covering sports.
Well, I mean, this really came out of the civil rights and the women's liberation movements, right? And there were a couple of representatives, a woman named Edith Green out of Oregon and a woman named Patsy Mink out of Hawaii. She was the first woman of color ever elected to Congress, and they saw that the Equal Rights Amendment was making its way through the House and the Senate, and that it was struggling, and they tried to craft something that wouldn't elicit a lot of pushback from their colleagues, right? And so they crafted Title IX, and when President Nixon signed it into law, June 23rd, 1972, I mean, it was barely a blip, but it's something that was intended to equalize college admissions, but it's really resulted in the inclusion of women in interscholastic sports, as you know, and an explosion in youth sports. So when I was growing up, to your point, there were not a lot of girls participating in sports. We came from a sports family, and I was in almost every sport imaginable, but high school sports at the time, they were just like not even 300,000 girls in the country participating in high school sports, right? About 15% of college athletes. And even when I went to Notre Dame and I was a track and field athlete, we didn't have a women's track and field program. Imagine that, right? At the University of Notre Dame. Now there are 3.4 million girls at the high school level that participate in sports, and about 44% of college athletes. Not to mention the Olympics, which I covered later in my career, which is where it really showed up.
I want to go back for just a second, Hannah, to your collegiate days, because I related the other day in a conversation about being at Tennessee when Pat Summitt got there. I was a student covering her, and I mean, she literally had an office in a broom closet.
Right.
I don't know what the Notre Dame situation was, but I doubt it was much better.
You know, I mean, I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, one of the things, obviously, Title IX, you know, created opportunities on a macro level for athletes, right? It was pretty obvious. Six Olympics, right? So we're fast forwarding quite a while from when it was put into legislation, and the women's soccer team won gold, and the women's basketball team won gold, and the women's softball team won gold, and that was all completely derivative of Title IX. But before that, I mean, the funding just itself wasn't there. The resources weren't there. There were no television contracts. Just to make any kind of impact it just wasn't there. And when it was put into law, and the law being, of course, you know, equal opportunity, equal resources for men and women, not only in education, but in any activity that was federally funded. You know, once that was enacted into law, a lot of those dollars started to come in. A lot of those scholarships, you know, became necessary by law. Now, a lot of schools skirted around that, right? So men have still nearly 60,000 more opportunities in college sports than women have. And we are talking about scholarships, and we are talking about recruiting dollars and head coaching positions. And, I mean, still, like, women of color, there's only 14% of college athletes are women of color. There's still a long way to go. I love, you know, you had the legendary Pat Summitt, and obviously women's basketball at Notre Dame and women's sports in general have been huge, but there's still so much work to do.
Hannah, as you moved on in your career, and you mentioned the Olympics, I mean, you've been at the front row of so many amazing and iconic moments. Was there one when you kind of nodded your head and go, okay, I remember this as a little girl, but now I'm seeing it come to fruition where maybe the country or maybe the whole world is accepting it in a different type of way?
Well, I mean, listen, when I was a little girl, I went to basketball games. My dad was a basketball executive. So every night when there wasn't school, we went to a game. And I sat in the front row and watched the men. And what I remember about women were two things: their glamorous wives and the cheerleaders. Later, after those really seminal 96 games, which the NBA used as a test case to see how the women would do, how the women's Olympic team, they barnstormed across the country. They played all the top college programs. They wanted to see what kind of crowds would come out. They wanted to see how marketable the women were. They wanted to see the response. And the NBA used that as a test case, and they said, we have something here, and they launched the WNBA. I was the first play-by-play announcer of the WNBA. Annie Drysdale, legend, first woman to sign an NBA contract. She was my partner. I just had a daughter. And that was, for me, the seminal moment was the creation of the WNBA, was being there as a female, calling play-by-play with another woman. Our entire production staff was female. The games were packed. There was so much fanfare. And I know at the time, I was like, it was really... almost surreal. And obviously we know that the success for women on the professional level outside of the WNBA and even the WNBA has gone through a lot of twists and turns in terms of collective bargaining agreements, pay, travel, and all of those things. You know, when we look at like professional sports landscape in our country, obviously all of those opportunities are dominated by men's sports. You know, my hope is someday that, you know, women's sports on a professional level after college, because we love to celebrate college, we love to celebrate the Olympics, you know, on a professional level, it would be great to see, and I think we still have a lot of work to do, to see more women be able to make careers in the sports field. And that's on the floor, that's behind the scenes, you know, that's coaching, that's broadcasting, that's all of it.
And it wasn't all that long ago. You and Andrea Kramer became the first to do an NFL game as well. I know a lot was made out of that, but deep down, how did you feel at that precise moment, knowing that you really had broken ground in a way that no one really thought was possible that long ago?
Yeah, you know, Paul, you're so right about that. I mean, two women calling NFL football is just something that even at the time that Amazon approached me, I was shocked that they wanted to do that. Now, they said they wanted to do that with myself and Andrea Kramer, and specifically. And they also said they wanted us to do an entire season. And what was really special about that was that we didn't just do one game. I actually did four seasons of Thursday Night Football at Amazon with Andrea. And that was sustainable. Now that Amazon is the sole holder of Thursday Night Football, obviously they found a different play-by-play and analyst combination to carry that forward. But the fact that we did that for 4 years and that it wasn't just sort of a one-off and it wasn't a gimmick, I really hope that, you know, in the future, some other network somewhere says, hey, you know, they were able to do that. They put forth a great product. It was really, really well received by Amazon subscribers. And that's why we were able to do it year. You know, we signed contract every year to do that. So I do think that was important. You know, it was more than a moment. I'm not sure if it was perceived as more than a moment, but it's important to recognize that it was more than a moment, that it was four seasons. And, you know, I really hope it's something that we see down the road is women with opportunity to call men's sports as well as women's sports. And I guess growing up in a sports household, you know, I never felt like sports was some kind of foreign language that only men could speak. I always felt like I belong there, and I think that's a great legacy that I have growing up, you know, with my father and my mom, frankly, who was a college basketball player, one of the very few back in the day. And, you know, I hope that continues. I think NIL is going to provide a good opportunity, some opportunities for women at the collegiate level as well. But that could be something that we're going to see, you know, directly opposed to Title IX. I mean, there's some people that worry that, you know, schools who get opportunities for men in NIL, they're going to be, you know, it's going to be incumbent on them to do the same for women. And then we're going to see that sort of be, you know, the next frontier and how far reaching Title IX is. You know, there's just a lot of things down the road as college sports changes and professional sports changes and broadcasting itself changes. There are a lot of things down the road that are going to be tested to see just how truly ingrained we are with the notion of women being on equal footing with men in the sports space.
Hannah, many, many, many thanks for helping us kick off this all-day celebration. It's just a thrill to talk to you again, and I do hope to see you very soon.
Well, Paul, again, I just want to thank you for, I mean, Arch Manning committing to Texas, you know, things like that are huge news in our sports world. And again, just the fact that you are interested, the fact that you're celebrating this, the fact that, you know, you took it upon yourself to make this a major part of your show today, that's the kind of commitment, you know, that we need in order to achieve true equality. There's people like you talking about issues like this, so I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. See you soon. Thanks so much.
All right, Paul. Bye-bye.
Great to talk to you. Hannah Storm joining us, and we will talk to a number of other very important leaders in this. Let's just get right to today's guest. So without further ado, we'll talk to Don LaPione, who also has played a huge role. Tamika Catchings, you'll see a lot of Tamika later on. And Ashley Woods will join us as well. We will talk about the Arch Manning situation that broke a couple of hours ago, his commitment to the University of Texas over Georgia and Alabama. We'll talk about that and your phone calls right here.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, Brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And there it is. It broke about 3 hours ago out of nowhere, completely shocking the world, that Arch Manning had made a commitment, and it's the University of Texas. That makes it 2 years in a row that Texas has landed the number one player in the draft. When you add Vince Young, they are reportedly, they have landed the top three quarterback prospects, A to Z, from a power rating in modern history. It seems to me, just watching the reaction, that it's the biggest commitment in the SEC since at least Tim Tebow, when he decided many, many years ago, I believe it was 2006, to go to the University of Florida. And yesterday, toward the end of the show, we gave you the Ring of Honor nominees. There has been massive controversy since then. These are the ones that we put on the board. Bobby, Jim, Chris, Jerome, Iman, Shane, Jim from Crestwood, Squirrel, Legend, and Tammy. We have already acknowledged that, you know, we wanted to hear from you. So we had to put a working list. And I say a working list because we are open to adjustments. So when if we hear enough people, and there's already a hue and cry for one or two people to be added, we will make those adjustments. We don't take ourselves that seriously here. And we, most important, want to listen to the public. So that's where we are as we get going here on what promises to be a pretty busy afternoon. We got baseball later as well. Winner between Arkansas and Ole Miss heads to the College World Series finals against OU. And the Arch Manning news certainly getting a lot of conversation. Let's check in with Eddie, who is in Florida. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, my man?
Eddie, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I want to commend you on a wonderful professional interview with Michelle. And I, too, Paul, am grateful that you're starting this show off talking about Title IX, because the evolution of Title IX is just amazing. And I do, too, look forward to seeing women, you know, continue to progress, you know, in all sports, events, whatever it may be. I'm just grateful that they are, you know, a part of period. Hey, Paul, but I'm grateful for the Arch Manning news, too, being a Bama fan. I think everything is about to change in July. I think recruiting is about to get big, and I can't wait. I just hope, Paul, that, you know, Nick Saban has a chance to have a historic recruiting class if he can keep all the talent in Bama. That's going to be hard to do with NIL and all of that, Paul. But hey, I just wanted to say, man, congrats to Arch, and we look forward to seeing Arch in Tuscaloosa next year as a freshman, so we can beat the hell out of them. Roll Tide.
Okay, let's continue with more phone calls. And Ron is in Kentucky. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Paul. Two questions, I think. One, how do you see Kentucky football this year?
Ron, I think Kentucky has a legitimate shot at number two in the SEC East.
Good. Well, we've always been predominantly a basketball school, but we're different now. We've got a good football program, I think, and I hope it shows this year.
I think that second game of the year is maybe the most important. You and I both know Kentucky has let a lot of games against Florida get away from them. And yeah. I think if they can take ownership in that game, they've got Georgia at home later on, and let's hope that's a really important game. That game in Lexington in late November, that's when you would want to play your biggest game of the year.
Yeah. Second question, Paul. I don't think I've ever heard a person ask you this question. What type of callers frustrate you the most?
It's a good question. And I think the answer is callers that obsess over themselves and personal grievances that no one cares about but them. And, and I say that because everyone has feelings, Ron, but this program is consumed by many, many people, either on television or on radio. And because one person is upset doesn't make any of the rest of us interested.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a retirement home now in Lexington, Kentucky, and I lost 8 pints of blood. I told you about that and almost died. But they found me in a hallway filled with blood, and the nurses called an ambulance, and they saved my life. So I'm glad to be around.
Ron, I'm always hesitant to ask. We've had many conversations. I know about your struggles, but I am so glad to know that they found you, and all the very, very best to you, and I look forward to hearing from you soon.
You're the highlight of my day, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. You be careful and take care of yourself. Let's take a short break. We have a busy show. Obviously, Arch Manning will be discussed and analyzed, but there are many other stories from the NBA to College World Series to general conversation and our continuing look at 50 years ago with Title IX.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You got to wonder what the reaction is today in College Station with the University of Texas becoming relevant again. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I want to talk to you about the upcoming football season at A&M, the schedule.
Hey, Matt, before you go off blabbing, what about Texas landing the most coveted recruit in 10 years or maybe longer today?
Whoop-de-doo. So what? They're never going to out-recruit us consistently. It might be one or two times, but give me a break.
Well, here's the thing you have to watch out for, Matt. When you get a generational player like that, other players will follow him. So keep your eye on Texas's recruiting ranking and how high or low it goes. They are going to end up with quite a class. You would be familiar with that.
Okay, but Paul, my point is they're never going to out-recruit us consistently every single year. That's his facts right there.
I think you may be in for a long recruiting season, by the way. Go ahead.
I think the only game on our schedule we have to worry about is Alabama. That's the only game. I still think I'm going 11-1. And did they tell you the mesh that I wanted you to get?
Have you checked out the A&M schedule? You got Miami, you got Arkansas.
Yes, I checked
State.
It out.
It's two teams you lost to last year, Alabama at South Carolina.
Yes, I checked it out.
Ole
I go
Miss,
every day.
You know about them. Florida's on the schedule at Auburn, LSU. Come on, what are you talking about?
Well, one, Auburn's depleted. They're not that good. The only way they're going to be good is they can beat Penn State. Miami's not that good. They have a new coach, new staff, and everything.
Yeah.
Arkansas, they return some stuff. I'm not worried about them. And that's for Mississippi State. They still haven't proven they can beat anybody in the SEC.
They beat you last year, Matt, in case you didn't know. Chris is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Chris. Chris, you there?
How you doing, Paul? I'm sorry. I couldn't get you.
We are doing great.
Hello? Hey.
Yeah.
I got two things. My first thing is AC. You need to tell him to call our man and get his freon check because he's going on a lot of hot air. And that joker, he's going to fight from everybody, and nobody's giving the fight because he's irrelevant. The second thing is, I heard yesterday you was having trouble finding Clemson the first time. What you need to do is type in your GPS, the Clemson with a capital C for champion, and then your GPS is always going to take you to the SEC country. That's why you kept signing. But you know where we're at right now? Because 44 by 16, that's how deep you got to be.
Chris, you realize Alabama has won and played for a national championship since that game. What have you guys done? I think he lost a national championship game and didn't even make it last year. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wendy is up next in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Great, Wendy.
Hey, what'd you think about Ohio State trademark the word "the"?
Thought the whole thing was pretty stupid.
I don't know, but they... Now, well, on one of their signs, it says The Ohio State University. I don't know whenever, you know, it was built. But anyway, but now other teams can get in trouble for using that, right? If they try that?
I don't think they – I don't. I think they can use the word "the". I just don't think they can use the word "The Ohio State".
Well, I don't know, but I heard that on
the
local
news. I don't think you can
trademark
the word "the".
Yeah, but I heard some of the smaller shops can't use The Ohio State University, you know, the gear, or make it, because since Ohio State, they probably have to do Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, I mean, just.
Right. Tom is up next. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Fine, Tom.
I want to talk about Alabama high school football.
Okay.
Everybody says Texas is the best, but Alabama's not too bad.
Well, I mean, the difference between Alabama and Texas is about a million times larger. That's why they have so many great high school players.
Yeah. My son goes to Columbia High School here in Huntsville. He's a junior. He's 6'5", 250, and he squats 295 pounds. But he's got a teammate that's 6'5". He weighs 350 pounds, and he squats 410 pounds. That's not too bad for a high school player.
That's he should be in the Olympics. And thank you for the call. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's up, Paul? You all right?
We are. Thank you.
I'm up here at the casinos now, and I got 30 minutes to go before the baseball game starts. Who are you thinking on that? Arkansas or Ole Miss?
Well, let's think about this for a second. I thought Ole Miss really let an opportunity get away last night in the bottom of the ninth, didn't you?
Yeah, and I mean they've been on a roll, but I've liked Arkansas for like the past week. But I mean Ole Miss has just been really hot. So,
yeah.
I mean they've cooled off a little. They've cooled off a little bit.
So who you got? You got Arkansas?
I mean now I'm putting money on it. I want to do Ole Miss, honestly.
Okay, you're going with Ole Miss. Well, I hope you're successful. I do not gamble, so I'm certainly not going to offer gambling advice. Richard is in Georgia. Hello, Richard. Hey, Richard, good afternoon. Stan is up next. Hello, Stan.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Before I retired, I ran retirement communities. And I want to tell you, thank you for how you treated that gentleman from that called from that retirement community. Your show is maybe one of the things that gets him through the day every day. And and you treated him with the utmost respect, and I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And I'm going with Arkansas tonight because my wife's from Arkansas.
Well, there
and
you go.
We want to make it a happy family.
Yeah, no, this is a border rivalry. Arkansas and Mississippi. I learned that living in a city that bordered both Mississippi and Arkansas.
We're from Starkville, actually.
Okay.
And normally I'd be rooting for Ole Miss, but. Since I love my wife. I'm rooting for Arkansas.
Yeah, no, I would think, the Mississippi State fans are probably rooting for Arkansas as well, wouldn't you think?
Probably. A lot of them are because, the hatred runs deep down here. But,
well, Stan, how long were you in that industry?
26 years.
Wow, I give you credit, and I don't mean this to sound dismissively, but that can be a very difficult endeavor just from my own experience.
Yeah, it can. It was. But, you go down the hall before I retired, you could tell the men's rooms or their apartments because you could hear Paul Feinbaum on in the afternoon.
That's great.
And I kid you not. It, but the way you treated that gentleman was fabulous, and I do appreciate you.
Well, thank you very, very much. Enjoy the game tonight. We're heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
I just want to say I'm very happy with my Longhorn. It's not a shock that anybody would go to school there.
Texas is back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always been around. It's a great institution. One of the largest and strongest academic schools in the nation. And it's in Austin in the great state of Texas. It's not a shock anybody would go to school there.
No, I think those who followed this closely, this is where he wanted to go from the beginning. And I think it has everything, to dissuade your point, but I think he connected with Steve Sarkisian, and that's really the key to this.
Right, right. And I think he wanted to distinguish himself from the rest of his family.
Yeah, he was never going to Ole Miss. There's a rub there. He really liked Georgia. I think Alabama was always going to be high. But I frankly think he made a great decision. I do.
He'll love it.
I would want
to
get away from the past, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope he realizes he's up against the I mean, he may be the greatest high school quarterback of all time, but the guy he's going to try to beat out wasn't far from it either. So anyway, thanks for the call. I mean, that's really, I mean, I admire him for that because Quinn Ewers was a spectacular quarterback. He was the best player in the country coming out of high school when he decided to skip his senior year to go to Ohio State. He left there quickly, and Texas now will have quite a quarterback room next year. Of course, we don't know what Ewers is going to do this year. That's the key. Let's check out Ted, who is up next. Hello, Ted.
Hi, Paul. I really enjoy your program. I'm a fellow UT grad.
Oh, thank you.
Our daughter played basketball and went to Pat Summit camps.
Oh, wow.
I had a chance to chat with her briefly, but it was like talking to your next-door neighbor. She wasn't very pretentious at all. Really great. Wanted to ask you one question. How do you, the UT Lady Vols look to be really power-packed for next year? How do you see their next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. They have recruited really well, and Kelly is, I think, the person for the job. I would think they're going to make a run. I don't know, in all candor, enough about everyone else in June to make much of an evaluation, but I think they'll be a top six, top seven type team, yes.
I'm pretty optimistic. I think they've got, for the first time in a long time, they've got a real team.
Well, it's been too long. I agree with you on that. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's continue. Crystal is up next in Waycross. So, hello, Crystal.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, let's bring it back up. Georgia. All right, here we go. We lost a lot of defense. but we definitely got a stacked quarterback room. We're not going to be hurting this year. We're still going to be great.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. When the polls come out, Georgia will be a top two, top three, top four team. They won't be any lower than three or four. I don't think they'll be any higher than – they won't be number one, but I think they'll be number three if I had to guess right now.
Yeah, we'll make it out of there again.
Oh, well, no doubt. Thank you for the call. A lot of confidence there. Sandy is in Georgia. Hello, Sandy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
It's a privilege to be on your show. I watch you every day, and I called last week about the NIL, and I'm the rambling wreck from Georgia Tech guy.
So oh yeah,
that took a beating. But got one question for you. Do you know what conference right now has the most national champions this year in all sports?
No.
The ACC.
Really?
Yes. When you count all sports. So, also, I think Georgia Tech's going to be back next year. I didn't really get to tell you that. I think they're going to be an improved program. I think the ACC is going to be an improved football program, conference. But another thing I was wanting to make a comment about the NIL, and I'm the purist of this thing, but what are we going to do whenever we finally get to the point that where we pay these guys and they don't even have to be a student? They just we're paying them to be a representative of the school and the football team. Will people still like college football at that point?
Sandy, in spite of a lot of protestations, a lot of criticism, I think people will. College football is so important to us. And I don't mean to minimize what happens in and around the game, but ultimately we enjoy the experience and the games collectively, and I don't think it's going to change the game. I don't think.
Now. But I really think we're just going to have another NFL. I mean,
yeah.
These guys are not going to end up – they're not going to go to class eventually.
But Sandy, if you're honest, and too often we're not honest publicly about very much. yeah, who are you a fan of, if I may ask?
Georgia Tech.
Okay. You said that earlier, and the fact that it made so little impression on me is not indicative of where Georgia Tech is in the ecosystem. So let me start over again. I should have known that because you said that twice.
Now I've got a second team.
Okay,
I do have an SEC team I follow. Also, I follow Florida.
So you made it hard for me though, because Georgia Tech is an academic institution, and what I was about to say is this. If you had said another school, I mean, as a fan, most fans deep down, and I'm not talking about what they say at church or in public, but deep down, they don't really care what happens other than the final score on Saturday. Would you agree with me?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
Now, there are people, Georgia Tech fans may feel differently, but most fans are interested in the win, not the GPA of their quarterback.
Well, that's true, but let me ask you this. All of the smaller schools, the mid-majors, those type guys, that they have to survive off those one or two beatdowns that they take from Alabama's and people like that. You talk about Big South Conference or any of those conferences. They're just what's going to happen in those conferences?
Well, I think, sadly, Sandy, there's going to be a line of separation, a line of demarcation between the bigs and the have-nots, and I think there's a lot of big schools, and I mean by big schools, you may be a fan of and a graduate of one of them, that will have a very difficult time trying to keep up with in your league. You're going to have a tough time keeping up with the Clemsons of the world.
No, we're going to replace Clemson this year.
Yeah. Good luck. Okay. That's really the underbelly of NIL. It's going to rub out, not to use a mafia word, but it's going to rub out a lot of really good programs that are not going to be able to compete. We'll take a break. A lot to do. Plenty of time. We'll talk to Donna LaPiano, who has a legendary career, about her experiences with Title IX when we come back.